together. Invest in remarkable Indonesia.
Hello, I'm Pim Fox, and this is what I'm taking stock of on this Tuesday, October the 14th, 2014. Today, the news is all about the numbers. Ebola cases in West Africa could jump to 10,000 new cases a week by December. That's according to the World Health Organization. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla, they're donating $25 million to the CDC to help fight the virus. And banks are beginning to report third quarter results. JP Morgan reporting a profit, but legal costs soared. Citigroup's profits increased as bond trading revenue improved, and Wells Fargo's results were in line while mortgage revenue declined. Its CFO explains the challenges the bank faces.
We're past the point where refinancing is a big driver of the size of the market. Going into the fourth and first quarter, I'd tell you that we should expect some seasonal slowdown.
And the use of Bitcoin is the subject for New York's top banking regulator, Ben Lawsky. He says there's a need for oversight of the virtual currency.
There are many good things that Bitcoin, should it develop, could bring. At the same time, you have to do it in a way that does something about the people who want to do bad things with the anonymity that they would enjoy.
And you'll meet the very real Tory Burch, the head of a billion-dollar global fashion business and author of the new book, In Color. Tory Burch says she didn't foresee her mega success.
Business I never imagined. If you asked me 12 years ago if I would have this business, I would have been very surprised.
We begin with the fashion industry. Tory Burch is celebrating 10 years as the head of her own fashion company. She is chairman, chief executive, and designer of Tory Burch. It's the brand known for its use of bold color with elegant style. Her business includes ready-to-wear shoes, handbags, accessories, home furnishings, and beauty products. She is also the author of a new book. It's called Tory Burch in Color. I sat down with Tory earlier today to learn about her brand, her business philosophy, and what it's like to live in the world of Tory Burch. Let's start off talking about the business for people that may not be familiar with the logo, with the look, with the use of color. How do you describe your business? You've got, about 136, 137 stores around the world.
Exactly. Business I never imagined. If you asked me 12 years ago if I would have this business, I would have been very surprised. So for me, it's definitely an extension of me. That said, wonderful team, and we just pulled together over the last 10 years together. It's been a group effort.
All right. Now, the business itself, in 3,000 department stores? Give us an idea of the range of products and things that you've created.
10 years ago, when I was working on the business plan, I said I wanted to design and create a global lifestyle brand. And I have to laugh because I had no idea what that meant back then. But really, it is a global brand. And I think what's interesting is that we look at references globally. We're an American brand. We're very happy to be. But I think part of it is resonating around the world because we're looking at women around the world.
What about sales right now? I know that it's been reported that you're doing over $1 billion in sales.
Yeah, so we're private, so I can't really comment, but it's close to that. And we have 137 stores. We have close to 2,600 employees. Worldwide.
You recently added to your roster of employees from Ralph Lauren, where you used to work. I'm wondering if you can just describe a little bit about Roger Farah, who joined the company.
Right. So I wasn't looking for a co-CEO. It was really about Roger. And I've always admired him in business and as a person. And one day I just called him and said, let's have breakfast. And we did. And he had just decided to leave Ralph. So it was really great timing.
What about the supply chain? How crucial is that to being able to get the product to the people at the right time?
It's everything, you know. So you need a really great supply chain. And you know, everything that I've had to work really hard at over the last 10 years in my team, Roger is a pro. And so I will love his perspective on how we're doing. I know our company is doing great, but I think he's going to be very additive.
All right. Now, I mentioned ready-to-wear, the apparel collection. Describe the various diversity that the line encompasses.
So we have ready-to-wear, handbags, accessories, jewelry, and from the beginning we had 12 categories, so we continued building those categories. Recently, last week we launched watches, which with Fossil, which is a great partner. Today we launched a book, as you know, but we will be launching sport in fall 15, so that's a big one.
Now, the sport brand, is that going to still be called Tory Burch?
It's going to be called Tory Sport, and it's going to have a different logo, and it's going to have its own freestanding store.
Now, I understand that when you were first deciding what to do in terms of the name of the company and the name of the brand, you weren't sure that you just wanted to have the T for Tory.
No, I didn't want to call it, I didn't want to name the brand after me. So I was very careful about that. I tried 10 different names, none of which we could get. And then I landed on Tory by TRB. And one night I was sitting next to Kenny J. Lane, the jewelry designer, and he said, it's so confusing, it's so ridiculous, change the name to Tory Burch. And that was a year and a half after I opened, so it took a while.
As far as business expansion plans go, you look at comparative global brands, like a Michael Kors, for example. The company is valued at about $15 billion. That's right. About five times the company's current sales. Is that something that you're looking to replicate?
You know, we're not. We're very happy and growing slowly, organically. Michael's wonderful for him. It's a 30-year-old company. I feel like we're just starting. We're 10 years old, but I feel like we have so much ahead of us.
All right, but how do you pay for all of this expansion? I mean, you must have investors that are going to be looking at the bills and say, all right, how much money is this going to cost?
Well, the company has paid for itself. Since the second year, we've been profitable. So we've really been able to sustain it that way. That said, we will continue to grow organically. I think the investors are happy with their investment. I don't think they're looking at the bills.
All right. I'm sure they're happy also with the sale of the footwear division, because the ballet flat shoe with the Tory Burch golden...
The Riva.
The Riva, named after your mother. Tell us about that shoe and what role that plays in the business
now. I think the exciting thing about our footwear is that it's not just about the Riva. Although that said, that is an extraordinarily successful shoe. Not that we ever expected it. I always wanted to do a ballet flat, and we added the logo, and that was about 8 years ago. And it's been tremendous. That we really hold back distribution, though. We don't want to be everywhere. We're careful with it, and we're careful with our logo. So that's been exceptional. But our footwear business as a whole is doing really well.
What about the challenges that a company like Tory Burch faces? Because you look at retail and you say, boy, one minute you're on top like Coach, and the next minute you're fighting to stay relevant.
Yeah, so I'm perpetually scared and have been for the last 10 years. For me, we want to just do our best. And it's really about always evolving, making things fresh and new, and pushing ourselves in that direction. So hopefully that won't happen, but you never know.
Do you remember the first big order that you received?
I do. Well, it was a retail concept from the very beginning. And Ron Frasch was at our store opening. So that was our first official order. The second season was Bergdorf Goodman.
And what did that feel like?
It was exciting. I wasn't planning it. I had a 3-year plan of 5 stores, and it was very different, became very different. That was the start of our wholesale business.
Coming up, more of my conversation with business success Tory Burch. Find out why her stores look like a color-filled living room with everything for sale. That's next on Taking Stock.
Have you tried one of these? It is so good.
Man, I can't believe we haven't done this before. Oh, wow, look at that.
Want a bite?
Do the jingle. Do the jingle.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, guys.
Do it again. Do it again.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
In my office.
State Farm.
I think we're good.
State Farm agents help you get to a better state.
Synchrony Financial partners with over 200,000 businesses, from fashion retailers to healthcare providers, from jewelers to sporting goods stores, to help their customers get what they want and need. Banking, loyalty, analytics. Synchrony Financial. Engage with us.
Tigers, both of you.
Tigers.
Don't be modest. I see how you've been investing, setting long-term goals, diversifying. Dip. You got our attention.
We did?
Of course. You're type E.
Well, I have been researching retirement strategies.
Well, that's what type E's do. Welcome home.
Taking control of your retirement? E-Trade gives you the tools and resources to get it right. Are you type E?
Place in our lives where we need investment income.
That's why we invest in tax-free municipal bonds.
We love the income they provide us, income that's federally tax-free. And at this point in our lives, tax-free income is exactly what we need.
Tax-free municipal bonds can serve as the cornerstone for a conservative portfolio. They offer income that's tax-free. Henning & Walsh is a leading expert in tax-free municipal bonds committed to finding you the best bonds to meet your investment goals. We'll even send you our informative bond guide absolutely free if you call right now. 1-800-895-7895. If you have at least $10,000 to invest, consider municipal bonds. They provide income that's federally tax-free. Take charge of your investments today. Call now to receive your free copy of our informative bond guide. It's free, so call now. 1-800-895-7895. That's 1-800-895-7895.
You take all your business calls yourself. Sort of makes it hard to look professional or get anything done. By helping to expertly manage your incoming calls, eVoice provides you with a better way to connect, regardless of whether you're a business of one or 100. We connect all incoming calls to eVoice instead of directly to you. So wherever you are, at home, the office, or on the road, you'll never miss a call. Get started with your 60-day free trial now at eVoice.com. Enter promo code TV60 and get the first 60 days free.
This is Taking Stock on Bloomberg. I'm Pim Fox. Tory Burch is the chairman, the co-chief executive, and the designer of Tory Burch. Now, while her ready-to-wear fashion line, famous ballet flat shoes, and handbags, they're known throughout the retail world, her new book reveals some lesser-known details about her life and background, even some recipes. I spoke with Tory Burch about her new book, Tory Burch in Color. Let's take a listen.
I love color in general, and that's why it's such a great thing that we were able to name the book that, because it's really a play on the word color as well.
The inspiration, not only for the love of color, but the love of design. Speak a little bit about your mother, Reva, and how that translated into your love of fashion.
Well, so growing up, I was a complete tomboy, and I was surrounded by beauty, and that was beauty that my parents were complete aesthetes. They loved beautiful things, and it didn't have to be an expensive thing. It's really just about style. But every dinner we had, my mother would make a huge effort, regardless of who was there. It was just family, even more so. So I was always surrounded by fashion, by beauty, and by their collections.
There's one photo in particular of your mother and your father, and the Acropolis, I believe, is in the background. What about that photograph is special to you?
Well, just it was a moment, and it was they both looked effortless. They were happy. It was a great time. They were traveling. They used to go for weeks on end and leave us, the children, at home with her mother. And they would. I said, Mom, we were so close. You just would leave us for weeks at a time. It's very different back then, and I think it's nice to capture that moment.
You came to New York in order to pursue a career in fashion. But to do that, it also takes some business savvy. It takes money to make this kind of thing happen. Where did you first raise the money to start Tory Burch?
So I had many years of experience in the fashion industry. Took 4 years off to be a mom. And it was during that time that I came up with this concept and worked on the business plan. My ex-husband and I put in a small amount considering what a startup would cost. And then we went to over 120 people and got them to invest.
You mentioned...
Very carefully.
Carefully. Well, and it's all obviously worked out.
Well, I said I was terrified of taking people's money, so I said only invest if you're prepared to lose it. I was very nervous about it.
You mentioned your family, and included not only are your parents in the book, but your three children. Tell us how that influences how you design and what the spirit of their spirit is to inform the design
process.
Well,
they're always part of my inspiration, and I have three stepdaughters as well, and they're always showing me new music, new artists, whatever it may be. And so to me, my life is very much about family, so it would be remiss if I didn't really include them in a significant way.
Now, how do you speak to women, particularly who may want to emulate the kind of success that you've had? You have a foundation, but it's difficult to have a family. It's a challenge to have a family and a career and to also try to build it.
Well, I think it is difficult. It's my biggest challenge as well. That said, one of the reasons I started this company was to start an environment where women could work and also have a family. And it's not about clocking people in and out. It's really about the quality of work. It's hard, and I'm not going to say it's not. It's hard for me, and it's something that is a challenge that I work on every day. But it's about time management. I put my boys first. I think they know that. And then everything else somehow falls into place.
Do you feel as if you ever gave up anything on this 10-year journey? Was there something that you can't recover because of the amount of work that it took?
You know, I can honestly say that I have made every effort to be there for all the important moments with my family and children. And if that were not the case, yes, I would say all of that. But that is the case, so I don't think so.
As the chairman of the company, the CEO of the company.
A lot of titles.
Yeah, the designer.
I struggle with the titles. I don't know what to call myself.
But is there anything that is off limits, or how do you decide where you're going to spend your time?
Well, I think, you know, it's very different that I am the CEO and the creative. And I think that's one of the reasons why the company has worked on some levels. I also haven't had design experience or a business background. So we've had to really think things through really in a different way. That said, I'm great at hiring amazing people. As you just said about Roger, I have a great team that have helped me build this company over the last 10 years. So I don't know how it falls into place. It does. Each day is incredibly different, and it can be anything from store design to finance meetings.
The proceeds from the book, they're going to something different.
Well, 100% of it, if they're sold through us, will go to our foundation. And that empowers women through low-cost capital, entrepreneurial education, and mentorship.
I want to throw some colors at you and get your reaction. Okay. We talked a little bit about orange, but what about black?
Chic.
Always.
I think black is chic, yes. And every woman that I see that's head-to-toe black is chic. Although I wear navy like most people wear black.
Anything that you would like to do that you have yet to do? I mean, you're doing watches for Fossil. What would you like to come out with?
No, I think there's several things. Everything seems to be happening so quickly. Watches was a 5-year conversation. I had even more than that with Estee Lauder. So it really is about timing for us. One day I'd love to do men's. One day I would love to do home in a more significant way. We just do a small assortment, but that's hopefully on the horizon at some point.
What about,
no rush.
What about jewelry, for example?
Jewelry we do. We do costume jewelry, and I love jewelry, and I think it's great. We're just starting to work on a bigger assortment as well, so that's something that's in the works. Sport is a whole nother.
That's where I wanted to go next, is the idea of your sport line. How is that going to be different, let's say, than Lululemon or Athletica that you see?
Which are all great companies. I think our aesthetic is different. It's as simple as that, but we really want to marry function and style.
And it's now time for our Get to Know segment, in which we learn some personal details about our guest. I wanted to know, who is Tory Burch's favorite designer other than herself? Her answer, the iconic French designer Yves Saint Laurent. All right, coming up, he had no experience and he had no money. But my next guest turned a road trip into an award-winning, money-making business. Find out more next on Taking Stock.
Financial advice you truly need?
We're facing major college costs.
I saved the money. Now I need to make it work.
Getting the financial advice you need shouldn't depend on who you are or where you are in life. At Edelman Financial, we believe everyone deserves great financial advice, even if you're not rich.
You've seen Rick on TV, heard him on the radio, and read his best-selling books. Now, put Edelman Financial to work for you. Go online to learn more or call us now.
The first thing we'll do is talk. Actually, you'll do the talking. We'll listen. Next, we make a plan for you, and then you can relax, knowing we're always here for you. Call now for your free portfolio review.
I want smart advice in plain English.
I want a plan to help me get where I want to go.
That's why I'm going to Edelman Financial.
Edelman Financial, because everyone deserves great financial advice.
Call 1-800-691-5413.
Ally Bank really has no hidden fees on savings accounts.
That's right.
It's just that I'm worried about, you know, hidden things.
Okay, why's that?
No hidden fees from the bank where no branches equals great rates. Today's Bloomberg Ticker is brought to you by Invesco. Explore intentional investing with Invesco. Start with your financial advisor.
This fax just got Nick the funding for his startup. This fax just got Kim's clients their dream home. And this fax just won Tom his biggest case ever. That's the power of eFax. It's as easy as email. Simply snap a photo of a document and fax it. Even sign your name. And now try eFax free for 30 days. Go to eFaxTV.com and start your free trial. Fax it online, on time, wherever you are, with eFax.
My next guest has been called wild and irrepressible. Charles Smith managed rock and roll bands for nearly a decade. Then he started a wine business, and it's been a big hit. Smith has received numerous awards over the years, including Winemaker of the Year from Food & Wine magazine. Charles Smith joins me now. Charles, I want to just find out a little bit about your journey from the world of music to the world of winemaking. How did all this happen?
I always wanted to do something that was close to the earth, and I thought winemaking would definitely be it, and I could do it up to my golden years. And I left Copenhagen, Denmark in 1999 on a road trip and found myself in Walla Walla, Washington, and now I'm here on your show.
All right, but I mean, there's got to be something more to that. I mean, the idea being, I know that you worked in restaurants for a long period of time, and not only in California, but in a variety of locations.
Sure.
And then that kind of got you connected to the food and wine industry.
Absolutely. A lot of people come to the wine world, especially winemaking, by way of hospitality. And that's how I came by it, by working in restaurants when I was a young guy.
You got to get to connected to the winemaking industry by when the restaurants were closed, I understand. You and the rest of the staff would maybe sample some of the wine.
Absolutely. That was definitely my beginning, how I cut my teeth.
Okay. Let's talk about Charles Smith right now, because it's more than just one brand. You mentioned Walla Walla, Washington. Tell us about the business that you've got going there.
Okay. Well, when I first started in 1999, I made 330 cases of wine. I'd hoped maybe I'd make a 1,000 or 2,000 cases of wine and have a small country life, and turned out quite differently. Now I'm the largest independent producer of wine in Washington State and the largest winemaker-owned winery in Washington State in only a matter of 14 years. Not by design, but truly by just velocity, I guess.
Well, but it's also, you've got a bit of a marketing spirit to you, right? Because, I mean, the wine labels themselves are different than conventional wine labels. Mm. You go to your website and you can buy T-shirts associated with the vineyard.
Right.
What was the inspiration behind doing these kinds of labels?
Well, we're not really a wine culture as a country, and I want to communicate the language of wine to everyone, so everyone should have access to it, and at the same time, making very classical, high-quality wine. So the idea is, I have a responsibility of making wine for people. I want to make sure there's communication with the labels so they can have access to it.
Okay, and I noted that, for example, the prices of some of the wines, maybe between $30 and, what, $65 for your own vintage.
Well, yeah, on the back screenshot that we have here in the studio, the wines are $12 to $20 a bottle. I mean, my Kung Fu Girl Riesling is a single vineyard wine for $12.
Wait a minute. You got to tell people about Kung Fu
Girl
wine that's Riesling, and it was what? Inspired by watching a movie?
Yeah, by Kill Bill, you know, Quentin Tarantino's fabulous, two-part series of Kill Bill. And there's a final scene with Lucy Liu and Uma Thurman fighting to the death. And I was sitting there with my best friend, and I said to her, I'm going to make some Riesling, Charles. She goes, what are you going to name it? And I said, Kung Fu Girl. And the idea is, once again, when you see the bottle, it tells you a little about what you might find within it, something that's probably going to be very good with Asian food. Kung Fu Girl.
And how's it selling? Pretty good, huh?
I make a fair amount of it. People seem to really love it. I think it was Wine Spectator's top 100 last year.
Tell the story about going to the bank to get a loan for the business.
Oh, yes. I received back from the bank recently my original business plan. I didn't have any money. I had a dream. I had 15 barrels of wine that I made. And I walked in the door, and they said, well, your business plan looks interesting, but we'd like to taste your wine. The following day, we met. They tasted my wine in a little cafe. They reached out their hand and said, hey, we'll give you a credit line of $250,000, and we'll use your wine as collateral. Can you imagine that? So they loved my wine, and it just went from there to here where I am. I mean, to think that a bank would do such a thing, you know, Banner Bank in Walla Walla, Washington. I mean, most people don't talk about how much they love their bank. I love my bank because without them, I wouldn't be here today.
All right, without Banner Bank.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about not only the wine that you make up in Washington, but you use grapes from different places, for example, California.
No, actually, I don't make wine in California, but I do actually make wine in Italy. I have a sparkling wine.
I beg your pardon, yes.
Yeah, it's quite right. I make a sparkling wine.
Secco.
Secco Italian Bubbles. I make grower-driven wine in the Veneto region, Chardonnay for the Bianco, and Pinot Noir for the Rosé. So really beautiful grower-driven sparkling wine for about $15 a bottle.
So what's next for Charles Smith?
The new urban winery I'm building in Seattle, Washington. So I live out in Walla Walla, Washington, which is about 45,000 people out in the countryside. We're kind of in the road, but it's beautiful. It's the agricultural, viticultural heart of my winery. But I've always been about progressing, so I'm building a brand new winery just south of downtown Seattle, and we'll be opening next spring, so that all those people that come to Pacific Northwest, everybody visits Seattle, but maybe only one out of 500 people visit Walla Walla. So the idea, instead of making people come out to the countryside, I'm bringing the countryside to the city.
Wonderful. And you're also bringing the wine to the people as well.
Absolutely. That's always been my thing. I have a beautiful job. I'm so lucky to be able to do this.
I want to thank you very much for sharing your story with us. Charles Smith, he is the founder of Charles Smith Wines. Coming up tomorrow on Taking Stock, I'll talk to the chief executive of Delivery.com, find out what makes his service so tasty. Thanks for taking stock. I'm Tim Fox. Good night.
You an advertiser spending more than $50,000 a week on TV? Are you absolutely certain you know how every ad dollar is performing? Start using TV attribution from C3 Metrics. It's being used right now. Get a month of TV attribution for free from C3 Metrics. That's one free month of TV attribution. Go to c3metrics.com. How much money will you lose tonight?
From New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200 and 94.5 FM HD2. And now, San Francisco, Bloomberg 960 and 103.7 FM HD2. Across the country, Sirius XM 119. And around the world, the Bloomberg Radio Plus TuneIn and iHeartRadio apps. On air, online, and on your smartphone, Bloomberg Radio is where you are.
I'm only in my 60s. I've got a nice long life ahead. Big plans. So when I found out Medicare doesn't pay all my medical expenses, I got a Medicare supplement insurance plan.
If you're eligible for Medicare, you may know it only covers about 80% of your Part B medical expenses. The rest is up to you. Call now and find out about an AARP Medicare supplement insurance plan insured by United Healthcare Insurance Company. Like all standardized Medicare supplement insurance plans, it could save you in out-of-pocket medical costs. Call now to request your free decision guide.
I've been with my doctor for 12 years. Now I know I'll be able to stick with them.
You'll be able to visit any doctor or hospital that accepts Medicare patients. Plus, there are no networks and virtually no referrals needed. See why millions of people have already enrolled in the only Medicare supplement insurance plans endorsed by AARP. Don't wait. Call now.
I am so glad that Jen set us up.
Yeah.
So how do you guys know each other?
Jen and I went to summer camp together.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. You know, I never lost a Maccabiah.
Oh, whoa.
I know.
Watch
right?
out. What's Maccabiah?
Oh, man. I am tired.
You know, I never lost a Maccabiah.
Color Wars?
You know what that is?
Yeah, we call it Macavia too.
Do you want to go out and grab a drink?
Yes. Do you want to meet my parents?
Just tell us your budget and the Name Your Price tool helps you find a whole range of coverages. No one else gives you options like that.
No one at all.
No one at all.
No one.
Wake up. Oh.
You okay, buddy?
I just had a dream that Progressive had this thing called...
Your budget and the Name Your Price tool helps you find a whole...
It isn't a dream, is it?
Nope.
Sorry.
You know, that thing freaks me out.
He can hear you. He didn't mean that, Kevin.
Yes, he did.
Keeping our competitors up at night. Now that's Progressive.
Welcome to Money Clip, where we tie together the best stories, interviews, and video in business news. I'm Adam Johnson. All right, here's today's rundown. It's hard out there to be a bank. From low rates to falling housing demand, there is pain in some of the latest earnings. And around the world, in Hong Kong, talk about pain. Police breaking down the barricades. Protesters hold their ground, however. And so long to the double Irish. Companies from Apple to Google to LinkedIn are going to be saying goodbye to a very coveted tax break. Today's wild card, meanwhile, the billion-dollar author. We're talking about James Patterson, the writer. And he talks publishing and his battle, a very personal one with Amazon. And then finally, a company, the Swiss running shoemaker On. It's going from small to big and fast. All right, first we're going to look at the top stories today. Citigroup's latest profits beat the estimates as bond trading revenue climbed and lending improved. The shares gained as much as 3.5% in today's trading. Citigroup's third quarter net income was up 6.6% compared to a year ago. Earlier today, we talked about the results with Gerard Cassidy, RBC Capital Markets Managing Director of Equity Research. And Citigroup also announced plans to exit consumer banking in 11 markets. Turning to Darden Restaurants, company announces that CEO Clarence Otis is stepping down. This is effective today. The move comes after Darden's entire board was replaced in an election last week. This was following a battle with Starboard Value. Starboard CEO Jeffrey Smith will become the chairman. Darden, owns a variety of restaurants, including Olive Garden and Longhorn Steakhouse. And Germany cutting its growth outlook as investor confidence fell to the weakest level in 2 years. The news raises concerns about a recession in Europe's biggest economy. Earlier today, Bloomberg Television talked about the outlook for the EU with S&P's head of sovereign ratings, Moritz Kramer.
We're seeing a slowdown in Europe. The reasons are different in different countries. I think Germany is suffering also from the fact that sort of demand from abroad is falling. It's very export dependent.
We'll have more on this story in a moment right here on Money Clip. All right. Meanwhile, in Saudi Arabia, the official press agency says a gunman killed an American citizen and wounded another at a gas station in Riyadh. The report says Saudi security forces tracked down the gunman and exchanged fire before wounding and arresting him. It's not clear if the attack is related to terrorism. And Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla, they are donating $25 million to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control to help the fight against Ebola. The grant will help CDC's response in the three West African countries most affected, Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. Zuckerberg said in a statement, quote, "We need to get Ebola under control." Yes, that is absolutely right. And those, by the way, are today's top headlines. All right, now we're going to take a closer look at Europe, as promised. Germany's slowing growth, it's only part of a bigger picture.
It's been weak for the last several years. Growth at the moment is around zero. Italy's in recession. We think it will, over the next four quarters, it'll be a little bit above zero, but it's very, very weak growth at this end.
And that troubled economic outlook means investors are betting rates will be low, at least for the short term. Rates, get this, is incredible. Rates on the two-year government debt are actually negative in seven different countries. Yep, look at those flags. That means that investors are actually paying the governments of these countries to borrow their money. Right here, Germany, Switzerland, Finland, Netherlands, Belgium, on and on and on. Take my money. I'll pay you. Now, on talk of the economic issues, there are fiscal challenges. Standard & Poor's recently cut Finland's credit rating from AA+ to AAA. I should say, to AA+ from AAA. The head of the sovereign ratings at S&P spoke to Betty Liu about other danger signs in Europe.
Just changed the outlook on France to negative on Friday. We lowered the rating of Finland to AA plus from AAA. So there are only two AAAs left, which are Luxembourg and Germany in the Eurozone. And what we're seeing in terms of the outlook balance, the outlook signals to us the likely or possible development where the ratings would go. We have three positive and three negative outlooks, which sounds pretty balanced, but the three negatives are really heavyweights.
They're the big ones.
Accounting for 38% of Eurozone GDP. The positive outlooks account for 3% of Eurozone GDP. Now so it's really balanced to the downside.
How about here in the U.S.? Any risk to our ratings?
The outlook is stable. The outlook is stable. It's AA plus. We have changed the outlook to stable last year because we saw some stabilization of the debt ratio. We're still sort of considering that the institutional and governance challenges in finding agreements on budgetary policy are still
A risk factor.
And that is that is reflecting the rating level where it is right now.
And the wild card in this global economic foot race, $11 trillion, that's trillion with a T, trillion dollars, that's the amount of consumer spending here in the U.S. Economists see a combination of more jobs, falling gasoline prices, and low borrowing costs lifting household purchases. Spending is expected to grow 2.7% next year. This is according to the latest Bloomberg survey. Well, low rates in the U.S. are creating a challenge for the banks. The profit squeeze at J.P. Morgan, Citi, and Wells Fargo, we discuss it next. And BlackRock, meanwhile, sees growth ahead. The president of the world's biggest money manager tells us why in a Bloomberg exclusive. And look at this. Kim Jong-un lives with a cane. North Korea released these undated photos earlier today showing its leader touring state sites, as he usually does. He had not been seen in public since early September, though who knows if anyone really saw him other than the Photoshop editor.
Your monthly phone bill with Magic Jack. Simply connect your internet and landline phone to Magic Jack to start making crystal clear phone calls. The all-new Magic Jack Go includes 1 year of free digital phone service. Download the free Magic Jack app and your home calls ring on your smartphone. Click or visit Best Buy today.
Introducing Synchrony Financial, bringing new meaning to the word partnership. Banking, loyalty, analytics. Synchrony Financial. Engage with us.
Watching one of the biggest financial services companies in the country at work.
Hey. Hey. Thanks for coming over.
How did it come to be?
Yours? Not anymore. It's a very short story. Come on in.
By meeting you more than halfway. It's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing.
Listen up for an amazing offer that can change the way you hear.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Can you repeat that?
Frustrated with your hearing?
What did he say?
Well, hear better now. Introducing the fully rechargeable MSA30X, a revolutionary device that features the latest microsound amplification technology that can barely be seen. Independently tested to help you hear up to 30 times better. It turns ordinary hearing into extraordinary hearing. MSA30X works by capturing and amplifying sound waves, yet its lightweight ergoacoustic design is discreet. It form fits in and around either ear.
I forget I'm even wearing it.
An MSA30X is powerful. Hear clearly in restaurants. Never miss another word on TV or at the movies.
My wife complains that I have the volume up on the TV too loud.
And I didn't want to be in the same room with them.
Now I can hear everything clearly.
Simply adjust the volume as you desire. Other units use so many batteries and they're difficult to change. But the MSA30X is completely rechargeable. Simply plug it into the wall.
I tried other devices that had batteries, but they were always such a pain to change and so costly. But this is rechargeable, so I figure I save hundreds a year.
Bulky sound amplifiers can cost hundreds, but try MSA30X for just $59.95 and we'll include a cleaning brush and five comfort tips. But wait. great. In this special TV offer, we'll cut the price in half. Now you can hear up to 30 times better for just $29.95. But there's even more. We'll double the offer free. Just pay additional processing and handling. Wear them both or give one to a loved one. Did you hear that? That's two MSA 30Xs for just $29.95. The MSA 30X Hear Better Now offer. Get two for just $29.95.
All I can say is just try it. It could change your life.
To order, you can call 1-800-804-5317. That's 1-800-804-5317. Or you can go to msa30x.com. Call or click now.
This is Money Clip on Bloomberg Television, and we are streaming live everywhere. We're online, we're on your phone and tablet, also Apple TV and Amazon Fire TV. I'm Adam Johnson. Well, today in bank, it's earnings season. We're going to start with J.P. Morgan. In an early release, the biggest U.S. bank posted third quarter earnings that missed analyst estimates, $1.36 compared to $1.39. The bank also set aside $1 billion for legal expenses. Earlier on surveillance, Robert Albertson of Sandler O'Neill says you have to look beyond J.P. Morgan's headline number.
We're watching a movie too fast. This is a slow economy. It's been a very slow recovery. Actually, everything is falling in place in terms of bank land. You've got the loan cycle picking up, broadening as it should. First thing I looked at on the Morgan release is loan growth, 7%. That's not shabby.
Meanwhile, Citigroup posted third quarter results that beat the estimates. Bond trading, that revenue also rose. So did commercial loans and revolving debt like credit cards. Citi also announced plans to get out of consumer banking in 11 different markets. Now, turning to Wells Fargo, which underwrites about one quarter of the country's mortgages, earnings matched the estimates, though revenue from mortgage banking fell slightly from the previous quarter. All right, tying all this together, we got Bill Cohn, former banker. He's now a best-selling author with several books on the financial crisis, as well as Allison Williams, Bloomberg Intelligence senior bank analyst.
So much cleaner, although we still did get a billion here, a billion there, litigation reserves. I think that was part of the disappointment at J.P. Morgan. Better revenue, but you did have a miss on the cost side, and that was a little bit about it. But you know, I think the main positive thing is the better trading revenue, and you hear words like buoyant and strong, but the bottom line is just that it's better and it's stabilizing.
I think the litigation expense is a bit of noise. I think probably the market is overreacting to this. They're going to, yes, Eric, have, it's a given that there'll be continuation of litigation expense at these big banks. They can't seem to resolve these issues because they keep doing things that aren't right, that they shouldn't be doing. And so that will be a continuing expense. But if you look at their basic business, which is what theoretically these banks should be trading on, their basic business is getting stronger as the economy improves.
What the market seems to be trading on, at least as far as Citigroup is concerned, is a 5% increase in fixed income trading revenue.
Right.
Since when is 5% something to get excited about? Or
and also
is
you're
that,
coming from
is
a low base. Well, remember what fixed income trading revenue was 3 or 4 years ago.
Is that just the new world we live in?
I think there's two key reasons, right? I mean, it's, you know, 5% is great when you've been in free fall for the last couple of quarters. And really, that when you look at the equity strength, you know, something like 16 to 15% up quarter to quarter. And this is normally a seasonally weaker quarter, so people are excited about that. And then if you look across what's been happening in the trading businesses, right, it's volatility. Volatility has been killing these banks. It's been especially horrible in the foreign exchange market. We hit a record low. I think the series goes back to the 90s. It was the lowest level during that time period in July, and we're up 50% since then. And Citigroup is one of the stronger players in that business.
Is the market volatility, should it be making us concerned that Dodd-Frank hasn't been tested yet? Now that we live in a Dodd-Frank world, these banks, these traders can't catch the falling knife and be a backstop. All they can do is act as agent. Is that going to hurt this volatility even more?
You know, one man's agent is another man's principal client service role that they're playing. So, I mean, are you an agent or a principal when you hold, when you do a trade for a client and you end up having to hold those securities longer than 30 days or 60 days or whatever?
But now they can't. 5 years ago, when the head of fixed income would say,
I think that jury is still out. I'm not sure that they can't. They're going to call that client service, Stephanie, and they're going to be able to hold that, and they're going to be able to show the regulators that they're doing that in service to their clients.
All right, well, it may be a challenging time for the banks right now. Asset managers are doing just fine. Thank you very much. This is according to BlackRock's co-president, Rob Kapito. You would expect me to say that, right? He is confident the world's biggest money manager will achieve its 5% organic growth target as investors put cash to work.
It may seem aggressive to you, but you have to raise the bar and have a mission for a company to grow. We chose 5%. We think we can hit that target. We've been slightly below those targets. We've been in the 4% area, but we have high aspirations for the company. Now, remember, I'm an asset management company. I don't go out and make widgets and try to push widgets. I have to rely upon what our clients need, what the markets do. I can't dictate either of those things. I can make suggestions. And just keep in mind, in this cycle that we've been in, many people are very nervous about the markets, so they're sitting in cash. So there's trillions of dollars that's sitting in cash that is waiting to be allocated into the market. And I think when that allocation occurs, that will be the fuel behind helping us achieve our growth targets.
You can watch more of our exclusive interview with BlackRock's co-president Rob Kapito on Bloomberg.com or just go to our award-winning tablet app, BTV Plus. Well, still ahead, tensions escalate in Hong Kong as police dismantle protester barricades. We will have the latest. That's next in World. And then in Wildcard, we're going to speak to best-selling author James Patterson, his take on the Amazon versus Hachette publishing war. And finally, the government wants to set up dedicated hospitals in each state for any Ebola patients. Currently, there are only four U.S. hospitals with top-level biocontainment units. It's one of the most popular stories on our website today. Read it, as well as others. Just go to Bloomberg.com/popular.
For me? Really? Yeah, I'd like that.
Who are you talking to?
It's Jake from State Farm.
Sounds like a really good deal. Jake from State Farm at 3 a.m? Who is this?
It's Jake from State Farm.
What are you wearing, Jake from State Farm?
Khakis.
She sounds hideous.
Well, she's a guy, so...
Another reason more people stay with State Farm. Get to a better state.
Hi, I'm Rick Harrison, and this is my pawn shop. And after 25 years in business, there's one thing I've learned. You never know what's going to walk through that door. Like this old-fashioned safety razor. For almost 100 years, the single blade was the best way to shave. Soldiers, presidents, even my pops used one. So why in the heck did the big razor companies start adding more and more blades? So they could charge you more and more money. Trust me, you only need one blade. That's why I use the new MicroTouch One. It's the modern version of this timeless classic. Even professional barbers today still only use one blade to give their clients a perfect shave. Same as my MicroTouch One. One blade gives me one perfectly smooth and comfortable shave every time. And unlike those multi-blade razors that are tough to clean so gunk can build up and make them less effective, the MicroTouch One opens up with a simple twist so you can easily rinse your blade and preserve the closeness of every shave, which means your blades will last longer. And it feels like a precision-crafted machine right in the palm of your hand. With the new MicroTouch One, I save money, and you know I like that. Plus, I get a perfectly smooth shave on my face and my beautiful bald head. Trust me, you are going to love this razor. So why keep shelling out big bucks for multi-blade razors that don't really last? When now you can save money and get the best shave of your life with the MicroTouch One for only $19.99. It comes complete with 12 blades and the deluxe travel case. But as part of this limited TV introduction, you'll get 12 more blades free. That's 24 blades, enough for a full year of smooth shaving. Yes, you get it all. And your satisfaction is guaranteed. So call or go online now.
To order the MicroTouch One, have your credit card ready and call 1-800-334-6153. That's 1-800-334-6153. So don't delay. Call 1-800-334-6153 or order online at OneRazor.com. That's OneRazor.com. Call or click today.
Spent my career analyzing markets, investigating global businesses, and interviewing today's most important leaders.
Tell me
me about that transition you made.
One thing I've learned is that despite language, culture, or ways of life, the global economy connects us all.
What does a housing recovery look like?
I want to help you understand today's world to better prepare you for tomorrow. Join me on Street Smart every day at 3 p.m. Eastern, only on Bloomberg Television.
In world, police in Hong Kong dismantled a number of barricades set up by pro-democracy protesters. Hundreds of officers sweeping away makeshift barriers made of bamboo, wooden pallets, and traffic cones. They took them from the Queens Road in the central shopping district. You can hear them obviously using chainsaws to do that. The clearance operation began after the city's chief executive signaled that he is losing patience with a student-led movement known as Occupy Central. Students have been disrupting traffic and business since September 26. Now, this is a complex story. Even those who support democracy in Hong Kong are actually at odds with each other. Emily Lau is the chairperson of the Hong Kong Democratic Party, which supports Occupy Central. She joined our Asia Edge anchor John Dawson earlier today.
Tense, but it is not violent. There's no scuffle between the protesters and the police. So I want to take this opportunity to call on the authorities in Hong Kong and in Beijing not to use violence against these very peaceful protesters. This is a political issue. Don't put the police there in the middle. It has to be resolved politically. And we regret the fact that the administration, the chief secretary, Mrs. Carrie Lam, has refused to talk to the students and to other protesters. This is the way to solve the problem, with dialogue, not with the police out there. This is terrible.
However, you've got to argue that the police are doing a very peaceful job of removing barricades and not being violent.
Not this minute.
Doing it because Hong Kong's business community, particularly the smaller businesses, are losing money.
I understand that. I apologize to all the people being affected. We, like everybody else, want the problem to be resolved right this minute. And the only way to resolve it is through dialogue. And the police, now they may be nonviolent, but if you look at yesterday, a few days ago, they were quite rough. They actually fired tear gas at the guy on the...
They fired tear gas once.
78 rounds. They fired this at the guy. The guy said, I'm trying to leave. I'm finding my way out. What did they do? They fired tear gas at him.
But you can understand that in, for example, London, New York could be far more aggressive than this. The crucial thing is, here, obviously, is for the government to step forward and say, we want to engage talks.
Exactly.
Why do you think the government, after 3 weeks, have not engaged in dialogue with the students to say, okay, let's sit down and discuss this amicably?
Not just with the students, but with the other protesters, organizers. I think it's Beijing. Beijing appears to be giving orders to the Hong Kong government every day, maybe every hour. And I'm urging Beijing to look at the peaceful demonstrations here, which, of course, have got the admiration all around the world. Where, you name me another city, where you have hundreds of thousands of people gathering.
You're quite right.
And not a bottle has been broken. So Beijing should listen to us. Just democratic elections. It's not a color revolution. It's not a revolution. I say it again. The students say it. They are not fighting for independence.
Do you think, therefore, Xi Jinping is ineffectual as a leader?
Well, of course. Look at him. Hong Kong is almost ungovernable. I understand the business community is concerned. That's why I call on the business leaders to send a powerful message to Beijing. Hey, talk to the protesters. Talk to the leaders. Let's find a way out of this. We don't want this to happen. And I don't want the police to use violence on my people.
Intense emotions there, obviously. John also spoke with Robert Chow. He is from the Alliance for Peace and Democracy. This is an organization opposed to the Occupy Central movement.
I think the police are doing this now because they want to avoid ugly scenes tomorrow when a whole bunch of transport workers and people like that are going to march to Central and demand to open the roads. I think they are trying to, downsize whatever disturbance that's going to happen tomorrow. So I think it's a move in the right direction.
A move in the right direction. However, there's still no dialogue with the protesters or the students and the government. So that's not really a great move, is it, in the right direction to get a real solution to this problem?
No, there are no real solutions, John. I mean, let's face it. For 7 million Hong Kong people, we are saying, give us our roads back, give us law and order back. That's the first priority. As far as students are concerned, they want CY Leung disposed. They want Beijing to surrender and kowtow to them. Well, they can argue and they can do whatever they like. They can fight. But give us our roads back. Give us law and order back first. So if they
Let's talk about that again. If they don't, they don't. Go back to the 7 million people. We know that in the last 2 weeks there's been various voices about the loss of business, significant decline in revenue, footfall, etc. Is there a big call, do you think, for funding from LegCo? Emily Lau just told us there could be. And also rent relief for those who could face closure. How bad is it?
It is very bad, not just for the businesses. It's just for the average man in the street who feel frustrated because they've lost the freedom of movement. Right, I think people are like to look at, you know, the romantic sound of democracy, but people down here live normal days of living, right? And if you take that away from people, people are going to respond. People are going to respond, you know, badly. And now, finally, we see the police doing something, moving the barricades and letting traffic go through now. Now, if they are really true about, you know, if the protesters are really true about what they say about peace and love and all that, they should not come back later on in the evening and re-erect the barricades.
Student leaders are urging protesters to maintain their blockades in central Hong Kong as long as the government ignores their calls for talks over the city's 2017 leadership election. Police have indicated they will remove any new barriers. All right, coming up, we will head to Ireland for a major tax loophole benefiting some of America's biggest companies getting snuffed out. And the latest in our series, Small to Big, we will show you how one Swiss running shoemaker called On came to the U.S. and grew fivefold in just 15 months. Whew, talk about fast.
I can reach Ally Bank 24/7, but there are no branches.
24/7.
It's just I'm a little reluctant to try new things.
What's wrong with trying new things?
You feel that in your muscles?
I do.
Try a new way to bank, where no branches equals great rates.
Does anybody know how I can get a small business loan fast?
I'm a chef.
I'm a stylist.
I sell tires for your car.
I'm a doc in private practice.
That's my name above that bar.
Rapid Advance.
Help my business grow.
Approval in a day.
Rapid Advance.
I got my money right away.
With Rapid, there's no hassles.
No credit checks galore.
You just need to be in business for a year or more.
Call 877-GO-RAPID or visit rapidadvance.com. Get up to $300,000 in just days. 877-GO-RAPID.
Rapid Advance. They didn't say no. Rapid Advance. They help your business.
Or rapidadvance.com.
Your money's here.
You an advertiser? Are you an advertiser? Are you an advertiser spending more than 50 grand a week on TV? Are you absolutely certain you know how every ad dollar is performing? Start using TV attribution from C3 Metrics. It's being used right now. Get a month of TV attribution for free from C3 Metrics. That's one free month of TV attribution. Go to C3Metrics.com. How much money will you lose tonight?
Ally Bank really has no hidden fees on savings accounts.
That's right.
It's just that I'm worried about, you know, hidden things.
Okay, why's that?
No hidden fees from the bank where no branches equals great rates.
Eliminate your monthly phone bill with Magic Jack. Simply connect your internet and landline phone to Magic Jack to start making crystal clear phone calls. The all-new Magic Jack Go includes 1 year of free digital phone service. Download the free Magic Jack app and your home calls ring on your smartphone. Click or visit Walmart today.
I am so glad that Jen set us up.
Yeah.
So how do you guys know each other?
Jen and I went to summer camp together.
Oh. Cute.
Yeah. You know, I never lost a Maccabi.
Oh, whoa.
I know,
watch
right?
out. What's Maccabi?
Oh, man. I am tired.
You know, I never lost a Maccabi.
Color Wars?
You know what that is?
Yeah, we call it Maccabi, too.
Do you want to go out and grab a drink?
Yes. Do you want to meet my parents?
Net neutrality. Pay to play or land of the free. Bloomberg Link presents the Next Big Thing Summit. Speakers gather in New York to examine innovation at the intersection of media,